Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Good. The only notices I've got at the moment are the Lent groups, Mondays at 7:30 at Holy Trinity, and Wednesday here in the sanctuary at 2 p.m. Youth group, the next meeting Sunday, the 22nd of March. Is that today? Yes. Praying together in the Lady Chapel at Holy Trinity every week at 1:30 for 30 minutes on Wednesdays. And a choral evensong sometime ahead on Trinity Sunday, 31st of May, at 6:30 p.m. And that's the patronal festival of Holy Trinity. I suspect it will be a common worship thing. Not a common worship. It's joint service, yeah. Any other messages? Thank you. So let's take up our service sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. We have our first hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 183.
Thank you.
have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Please be seated. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed is the Lord,
for he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your images. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth, by praising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. So our next hymn is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 9.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And now we have the first reading from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning to read at verse 27. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the kingdoms of Israel and Judah with the offspring of people and of animals. Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down, and to overthrow, destroy, and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days, people will no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for their own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, their own teeth will be set on edge. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the splendor, and majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and on your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen. Now I have our second reading from John chapter 12.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. We stand for the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. So may the words on my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. Today's talk begins with a lesson in auto mechanics. In the olden days, and I'm talking about the 30s and 40s, cars came equipped with a 6-volt electrical system. That's all they needed. The engines were small. They had few accessories. You had to crank them by hand. As cars got bigger and more powerful and loaded with all sorts of accessories, including an air conditioner, the old 6-volt system couldn't handle the load. So most cars switched over to a 12-volt system. One of my best friends, frustrated with his wife's unwillingness to embrace new technology, said, "Pat, you're just a 6-volt battery in a 12-volt world." And from that time, I wonder, am I a 6-volt battery in a 12-volt world? Are you? The gospel lesson for today reads, Jesus said, "Most certainly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life." The film series based upon The Lord of the Rings has brought to promise the author of the books on which it is based, J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien was many things: a university professor, a medieval scholar, a writer of fantasy, and a Christian. During the First World War, young Tolkien served in the trenches with the British Army. During World War II, Tolkien, no longer young, wrote these words to his son, Christopher. "Sometimes I feel appalled at the sum of total human misery all over the world. The millions parted, fretting, and torture, pain, death, and injustice. If anguish were visible, most of the world of this benighted planet would be enveloped in a dense, dark vapour, shrouded from the vision of the heavens." Does that sound familiar? Tolkien talks about the soil. Jesus talks about seed. "From a solitary seed," Jesus tells us, "much fruit will come forth, unexpected. Good will sprout." Both what Tolkien says and what Jesus says amount to statements of faith. In the case of Jesus, he looks at what will soon happen to him. Like a single seed, he will be buried in the earth. He will die to his oneness, his solitariness, and be raised up not only in his own glorified body, but in the lives, in the bodies of his followers. His enemies will think him dead, but he will be raised to a life more abundant than before and become the Christ of countless places and countless people. Next Sunday is the Sunday of the Passion, when we hear about the seeds of death and burial. Throughout Holy Week, the same song is sung in a variety of keys. During those dark days, we feel how rich is the soil which evil has prepared. Then comes the Sunday, when, unexpected, good sprouts out of this dark, rich soil over which evil has laboured. Yet Jesus does not content with declaring that the seed will sprout. He speaks of much fruit, an abundant harvest. He speaks of being lifted from the earth like a planet reaching heavenward and thus drawing all people to himself. And this is the promise. And it is a reliable one. We believe in the force of gravity. We see it demonstrated all the time. And sometimes we are the demonstration. There is also a gravity that is moral and spiritual, that drags us downward into alienation and death, into that soil over which evil has laboured with power and seemingly perpetual success. It's normal enough to believe in this gravitational force. We see it demonstrated all the time. And as I said, we're sometimes the demonstration. But by faith, we recognize another force at work, the power of resurrection, a moral and spiritual force that draws us up from the dark soil of death, away from the grip of evil. Then we may sit with Christ in heavenly places. The power of resurrection is at work in all who claim the faith of Jesus. By faith, we recognize it at work in the world. From the soil sprouts unexpected good. In this morning's gospel reading, we have a similar situation. It was the time of the Passover. People were coming to the temple to worship. It wasn't just the Jews that came on Passover, others came as well. On this occasion, there were some Greeks coming. And Greeks often wanted to worship the one God, but didn't like the rite of circumcision. So they came to worship, but stopped short of the ritual of becoming a full worshipping Jew. These Greeks had also heard that Jesus was there, and they wanted to meet him. So they approached the disciple Philip, asking if they could see Jesus. Philip does what he often did and tells Andrew. And they went to tell Jesus. That's the last we hear of the Greeks. But they set the stage for this story. Many people wanted just to see this miracle worker, this great preacher, the man who had received so much notoriety near and far. Just a glance. But some people come to talk about who he's looking for. Now that fits with what is he about? Jesus goes about it in two steps. Firstly, he uses the illustration of a seed. And secondly, he talks about the way he came to Jerusalem in the temple at that time. Jesus uses this illustration of the seed to talk about who he is looking for, a particular tray he wishes his followers to have. And that tray is dedication. He knows that many have come to see him to get a look. They are curious. They want to be able to say, "We saw the great teacher," so they can feel important. Jesus wasn't looking for onlookers. He was looking for true, tried followers. People who, like the seed, would die if necessary. Jesus was looking for people who would be dedicated to his mission. And what was his mission? It was to save the world from judgment. Did it mean he would die like the seed? He told them how he argued with himself about following this path. He knew it was not going to be pleasant. But yet, he knew that his mission wouldn't stand a chance to grow if he turned away from the path set by his heavenly Father. For Jesus, this is a time like last night in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sat himself to his mission. If it is possible, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. If Jesus was going to accomplish this mission, God the Father sent him to fulfill, he would need the fruits of his seed to continue after him. Those dedicated to God's will, just as he was. As this Lenten season comes to a close, we can ask ourselves once again and every day, am I a 6-volt battery in a 12-volt world? Am I an onlooker wanting to see Jesus? Or am I a follower of Jesus, dedicating my life to him? Amen. Now we stand to confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now have the next hymn. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Number 32. 32.
Every tongue confess him,
Katie will pray for us and with us.
Let us pray. In this bright morning, when the sun shines and the natural world is waking up again after winter, we thank you for the promises of new life all around us, for pleasure and comfort, and for the food that we eat every day. We pray for the farmers who are trying to manage their livestock and fields in the face of all the recent rain, for their families and their support networks as they work so hard to keep the world going on our behalf. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who work elsewhere in the world and for the global networks on which our comfortable life depends. We thank you for the power of trade to bring people closer together and break down barriers. We ask that you will bless our industries with wisdom in the face of the changing international situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all affected by the war in the Gulf. We ask your protection on those we may know in the Gulf states, over the infrastructure workers who are continuing to maintain the targets, over the Iranian people who are still subject to suppression at the same time as missile attacks, and the people of Israel who are subject to retaliation. Please hear our prayers for the leaders of all the countries involved in this war, that they will act with wisdom and listen to their advisors. And we pray for NATO that it will make the right decisions based on acting in defense and keeping peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing on our church leaders, on Samuel, Graham, David, Mary, and Linnea. Give them grace to challenge, support, and guide us. And we ask these same graces for Archbishop Sarah Mullally as she is enthroned this week. Lord Jesus, let her feel and know your presence and strength as she takes on this difficult role, and give those around her encouragement to support her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring you before you those we know who need our prayers at this time. Amanda R. with her continuing treatment. Bob V. unwell at this time. Carol and Jeff, who are housebound, and also Jeff, who is receiving palliative care. Chris and his family for the positive outcome from recent chemotherapy treatment. Gerald, Adrian, Harry, Oliver, Thomas and family on the death of Philip Cooper. Graham Lang undergoing treatment and his family. Harry Knox presently in hospital and Sheila recovering from a chest infection. Jade and her family, Rhoda, Andrew and family on the death of Andrew's mother, Rosemary, Ronnie and Doreen Jones, Ruthie and Clive Pocock and family on the death of Ruthie's father, Peter, Sheila Cossens, the Youth Club and the Sanctuary Cafe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, as we come into the last week before Holy Week, remind us of your journey. Prepare us to follow it with you and nudge us to remember it in the busyness of our lives this week. Open our ears to hear whatever you want us to hear, to learn whatever you want us to learn this Lent. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, Lord, we offer you thanks for the peace and freedom we are so privileged and lucky to enjoy. Guide us by your Spirit to use our freedoms to work for the kingdom of heaven in our own small corner of the world and realize the power that we have. Merciful Lord, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We continue with a collect prayer for today. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood, Christ Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we will go out to this final hymn, Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. 1, 2, 3, 7. 1,237.
Thank you.
God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Please face each other across the aisle. And we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.